We are ready to start on this 14th Sunday of Trinity, after Trinity, and I hope you've got the order of service in front of you, and you're all very welcome. In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
O Lord, open our lips, and our mouth shall proclaim your praise. Blessed are you, Creator of all. To you be praise and glory forever, as your dawn renews the face of the earth, bringing light and life to all creation. May we rejoice in this day you have made, as we wake refreshed from the depths of sleep. Open our eyes to behold your presence, and strengthen our hands to do your will, that the world may rejoice and give you praise. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God forever. The night has passed and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen.
Our first reading is from James. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand there or sit on the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And we turn now to our psalm, Psalm 146. And we say together, the Lord shall reign forever. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul.
I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live.
Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save.
The Lord shall reign forever.
When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing.
Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob,
whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever.
The Lord shall reign forever.
He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free.
The Lord gives sight to the blind.
The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down.
The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the way of the wicked.
The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. The Lord shall reign forever.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
God of all, our breath and being come from you, yet our earthly end is dust. As you loose the bound and feed the hungry, so bring in your mercy through the grave and gate of death to the feast of eternal life, where you reign forevermore. Amen.
And our second reading is from Mark 7. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it. Yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. First, let the children eat all they want, he told her, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Lord, she replied, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he told her, for such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of Decapolis. There, some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ear. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven, and with a deep sigh, he said to him, "Ephphatha," which means be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So after healing and teaching in Jewish territory, Jesus moves to the Gentile region of Tyre and Sidon. There he is visited by a Greek woman. She knows where to find Jesus, and she begs Jesus to heal her daughter. And Jesus tells her a short story, a mini parable about boundaries. The mealtime boundaries between a family eating their meal and their animals. The children, Jesus says, are having a meal and eating bread. It wouldn't be right to take the bread away from the children. They must eat all they want. The woman understands what Jesus is saying and completes the story for him, saying that even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Jesus is stunned by her insight. He commends her understanding. She's understood what the disciples have failed to understand, and she's a Gentile, and she's a woman. She's understood that God's reign and kingdom are open to all, not just to Israel. Jesus has publicly opened the floodgates and shares the blessings of God's kingdom with the Gentiles. I love Jesus' miracle stories, but as I have said before, they are sometimes a challenge. As I watch the news and read the newspapers and see the heartbreaking images coming from Afghanistan and Haiti, and read of wildfires and hurricanes, more stories of corruption and abuse, I find myself crying out for miracles. This world really needs the miraculous to happen. And when I read stories like the stories we have just heard from the Gospel of Mark, I really want to trust in these accounts of deliverance, healing, and transformation. But it's hard, isn't it? In the second of our gospel stories, Jesus has moved further into Gentile territory to the Decapolis. While he is there, a crowd bring a deaf man to Jesus who has a speech impediment. They want Jesus to put his hands on the man, presumably believing that if Jesus was to do so, the man would be healed. Jesus takes the man to one side, away from the crowd. He puts his fingers in the man's ears, spits and touches the man's tongue. Then he looks up to heaven, sighs, and says the words, "Be opened." Using his favorite word, Mark records that immediately the man's ears were opened and his tongue loosened, and he could speak and be understood. Jesus tells the man and the crowd not to tell anyone what has happened, but they can't stop talking about it. They are overwhelmed with amazement, saying that Jesus has done everything well. Well, I don't know about you, but I can clearly see this story unfold in my imagination. It is written so vividly. Not only can I see it, but I can hear it too. The noise of the crowd, the indecipherable words and the indecipherable sounds the man makes, the words Jesus speaks, the gasps of awe and wonder from the crowd, and then the beautiful, beautiful words that the man speaks that can be understood for the very first time. But there is one sound that I have missed out, and I wonder if you've spotted it. Jesus sighed. Jesus looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to the man, "Be opened." Jesus sighed. In some translations, it is written that he murmured or groaned. Before Jesus heals this man, Jesus, the Son of God, looks up to heaven and sighs. A sigh is such an expressive sound. I watch the news and read the newspapers and I sigh. There are sighs of exhaustion, sighs of grief, sighs of bewilderment, sighs of frustration and anger, sighs at the injustice of it all, sighs of sorrow and sighs of loss. Before Jesus heals the man, he looks up to heaven and sighs. And I have found myself wondering why. I wonder if Jesus sighs because so many people fail to understand him. The crowd come to him looking for something spectacular and a bit of magic, something of a show. And when the show stops, the crowds fade away. They'll be with him when he comes into Jerusalem as a hero, but abandon him when he is executed as a criminal. Or maybe Jesus sighs because he is the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior, and he knows that the coming of the kingdom of God is slow and costly. It doesn't come instantly. It comes quietly and often secretly. How silently the wondrous gift is given, we sing at Christmas, often making so much noise that we fail to hear the Spirit's holy whisper. The kingdom of God comes like yeast, sprinkled in dough, often unnoticed, quietly working, affecting the whole batch. The kingdom of God comes when we take up our crosses and follow Jesus, not just as our friend and role model, but as our Lord. And we, the crowd, so often want Jesus to be the great fixer of things. I know I do. I want him to fix the troubles of this world. But that is not who Jesus is. He is not a performer who fulfills our demands for a spectacle. I wonder if Jesus sighs because he knows that the crowd are looking for a cure. When Jesus knows that seeking a cure is so, so narrow. Because what Jesus wants to give is not just a cure, it's wholeness, restoring the lonely, the isolated, the ostracized to a healthy community where all human beings can flourish. In the context of the time when Jesus restores the man's ability to hear and to speak, he was doing so against a culture that equated illness and disability with moral and religious failure. In his world, his deafness and inability to speak are like death sentences. So Jesus makes the man whole. I praise God that we have made such huge strides about this in our thinking, although I'm sure we still have a long, long way to go. You only have to watch the Paralympics to see that just because you have a disability does not necessarily mean you need healing. So maybe Jesus sighs because the crowds just can't see beyond the man's deafness. Or perhaps he sighs because he longs for the crowd to see how much they need healing too, from their assumptions and biases and prejudices. Do we recognize that in God's eyes, all of us are in need of healing, wholeness, deliverance, and transformation? When we seek the kingdom of God, we are asking to be changed and renewed. When Jesus restores the man's speech and hearing, he does so by inviting the man to be opened, not simply cured or healed, but be opened. Is this Jesus' invitation to us too? To be opened. What does it mean to be opened? To be willing to let go? To be surprised? To show vulnerability? To walk open-handedly? To give away? To live fully? The healing work of Jesus is always more layered than it first looks. Each morning, I pray that I will allow myself to be opened by my Heavenly Father, saying these words: Father, help me to live this day to the full, being true to you in every way. Jesus, help me to give myself away to others, being kind to everyone I meet. Spirit, help me to love the lost, proclaiming Christ in all I do and say. I'm grateful to know that Jesus' prayers include sighs, sighs of longing, sighs of love, sorrow, and hope. I can imagine Jesus sighing over our world, because what the world needs more than anything else is the good news of Jesus' love and hope. And what we need right now is to hear the good news of Jesus' love and his hope. May we trust in Jesus, who says to us, be opened. May we listen to him, lay our lives before him, and be healed and transformed. Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you taught your disciples to pray. Hear us now as we bring to you the needs of your church and your world. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
Bless, Lord, the sick and poor in spirit, especially Jack, Jen, Catherine, Brian, Jennifer, Jean, Jane, Alan, Aileen, Rosemary, Richard, Ali, Maurice, Ron, and Gordon. That the kingdom of heaven may be theirs. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
Bless, Lord, those who mourn, that they may know your comfort. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
Bless, Lord, the meek, that they may inherit the earth. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
Bless, Lord, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, that they may be filled. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
Bless, Lord, the merciful, that they may receive mercy. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
Bless, Lord, the pure in heart, that they may see God. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
Bless, Lord, the peacemakers, that they may be called children of God. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
Bless, Lord, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, that theirs may be the kingdom of heaven. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
And the collect for the 14th Sunday after Trinity. Almighty God, whose only Son has opened for us a new and living way into your presence, give us pure hearts and steadfast wills to worship you in spirit and in truth. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And we join together as our Saviour taught us. So we pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us and those whom we love and pray for today and always. Amen. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. Thank you, Dawn, for helping lead this service. It's been lovely to be with you as always. Just a reminder about the coffee morning, which we had a great time last week at the Lighthouse. And it'd be lovely to meet with you on Zoom again this week. We're going to try and meet once a month in the flesh and the other three times remotely. As Sally said at the beginning of this service, Claire Curtis is going to be ordained in the cathedral on Saturday, and we have a welcome tea for her on Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock, which would be brilliant if as many of us could be there as possible. And everybody is very welcome to join us for that tea. And we'll be starting a Bible study on the 27th of October. In addition, I'm researching about collecting items for Afghan refugees arriving in Plymouth shortly, and if I've got any news about that and the sort of thing that we could be collecting, I will let you know. So anyway, love to you all, and have a very blessed day wherever you are, abroad, at home, on holiday, or just hanging around Tiverton. Have a great time, and if you've got children or grandchildren going off to university or school, then our prayers and thoughts are with them too. And we look forward to meeting all together as soon as possible. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.